Yeah, dickheads. I always thought he was fucking overrated as well.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Monday, Q&A. James, are you warmed up and ready?
Yeah, that's
I did a good intro for this one rather than fucking that one up.
He asked me a question and he didn't let me answer it.
Because I want to answer them live on the show, and I'm 99% sure that these questions
are
in the Q&A. So let's see what kind of shit you lot have come up with this week, patrons. FPL cricketer, what FPL rank do you think you would need to be going into the World Cup with a chance of winning the whole thing, assuming only wild card has been played? So you've got all your chips. Top million?
Nah, you probably need to be higher.
Half a million?
Yeah, I think at least. It's almost impossible to say. It depends if you might have one individual who's got like a 200-point advantage and playing the game properly or something. That's then very difficult to rein in, isn't it?
I should date stamp these. This is on the 4th of October, anyway. Harbour Boy, how have Brighton lost a bunch of key players and key management and backroom staff and somehow managed to be better than they were before?
I think the template for, with respect to the relatively small football club, I think they're basically the template now of what a small club should be in the Premier League. Brilliant. Completely well run. They've got the analytics side of it. The owner and the fans have a good relationship and stuff. He's obviously kind of saved them from the brink years ago. I think generally, yeah, they have a style
of football they want to play.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really solid.
They
really
have impressive planning in place. So
for everything.
If you look at, say,
De Zerbi took a week?
If you look at, say, Leicester at the moment, and actually they've been well run as well, but you don't hear anyone getting linked with that job.
No.
Even though we know, whether it's today, next week, next month, Brendan Rodgers is probably not going to be Leicester manager in 12 months' time. Brighton, all the noises, whenever like Potter gets been linked with the England job or anything, is always they've got a succession plan in mind. They know who their targets will be. The way they obviously undercover these brilliant gems from like South America and Africa and Central Europe and stuff. Brilliant football club.
Just good planning. Geordie's FPL, why do we see so few black goalkeepers in elite European football? Is there any science behind it or just coincidence?
I have no idea, is the honest answer. I think it's on the rise. Like you got Mike Maignan at AC Milan. He's a very good goalkeeper. He's likely to become France's number one in the near future. So I think it's on the increase. I don't know why. I don't have a good... You've obviously got Edward Mendy now at Chelsea. Mm. But it has been very rare.
Areola?
Yeah, Bazunu, Nico's just saying as well. So it's definitely on the increase.
Darren Randolph. I mean...
But if you think back to like Premier League early first 20 years or so...
David James.
If I said to you, like Shaka Hislop, yeah, it's not few, many.
I don't know if it's something to do with just like goalkeepers are always the players that are shit outfield, aren't they? So they just fucking go in goal. The biggest shit on the ball, go in goal. Maybe there's just not that.
You're saying white people are shit with the ball? Is that
no,
what
no, I'm just saying that like in African countries or something like that, is it just the case of like you don't want to go in goal? People just don't want to go in goal?
If you're in an African country that's predominantly black people, someone's got to, haven't they?
Yeah, maybe not. Rush goalkeepers. Rush goalies. Like, when you were a kid, who wanted to go in goal? No one.
I think he's probably...
Except the kid that knew that was the only way to get into the school team. I think it's
something we're obviously going to see heavily evolve. We were speaking again last week, weren't we? I think it was off camera about South Asian players. Like, where are they?
Yeah.
For example. Yeah, it's an interesting quirk. I don't have a scientific answer for it.
Chris Jago, it takes a lot to impress me coming to podcast, but the Qatar pod release yesterday was enlightening and disturbing. It brings home the greed and ineptness of FIFA. Well done. Okay.
Cheers.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the simpler ones we've done, relatively, but thank you, appreciate it. Darren, also Reclose, if all the Slack channels have new messages, which one do you open last and which ones do you open first? Not a big Slack user, so this one's on you, James. I always go to Sky and Pod Questions are my two.
I think it depends when the one I normally click on first is cricket. Just get rid of it and I just
okay.
Yeah, I've done it. I don't read the comments. So I just clear it from the chat. Normally, one if I've been tagged in normally goes to first in case it's like an urgent or an emergency or something. So DMs first, then any tags. Tottenham, if the Tottenham channel's highlighted, that's where I'll go first in case I miss something. Right, so.
Mac, Beach FPL, do you think that there should be a premium paid version of FPL for the hardcore player? Perhaps it has different chips or rules. The free version can be left for the casual. How much would you be willing to play? To pay to play. FPL Cricketer says there used to be one called Ultimate FPL.
Yep.
£5 entry IRRC.
I didn't play it or particularly remember it, but I am aware of it.
And match day captains and subs. I don't know.
What's the hardcore and
Sky, isn't it?
Isn't it just fan team and other variations? And no, I don't think I'll go back down that route.
Shifo, following on the fans in the World Cup, do you know that Argentinian fans already started travelling to Doha?
It's a long walk.
There were over 3,000 spotted cheering a club in Qatar Super League because they wear the same colours as Argentina.
Okay, that's quite cool.
They can't be there that early, surely. Not 3,000 of them.
Maybe they make sure the Budweiser's gone.
The World Cup can kick off till the 20th of November. It's like over a month and a half away.
Maybe they've gone to do their own recce first. But maybe. Yeah, they are, as said on that pod last week, they're likely to be the most non-Asian supported team now.
Nathan Scoble says, as James is the analyst and Suj has the capital if needed, theoretically, of course, what would need to happen for Suj to buy a time slot on TV and stick James on himself on there to do a segment once a week analysing the week in football? What would need to happen for me to buy a slot on TV? I should win the fucking lottery, surely.
Return on investment, I think.
I personally don't
Where's
think
the return on
it,
investment?
Unless the returns they get are substantial. Getting on TV would be... would mean abiding by the broadcasting channels rule. That's what YouTube is for. We are our own channel. We don't have to, you know, toe the line.
Exactly.
But
that.
Yeah, I don't see us buying a slot on TV. Leisure, looking for a cheap replacement. What do you think this is? FPL? Looking for a cheap, we'll do it, but you haven't been warned. genuinely, people can send in FPL questions. It's not a problem. Looking for a cheapish replacement for Gabriel in defence until game week 13. Already have Botman and Trippier. His contenders are Webster, Zuma, Gehi, Castagne. Love your work. Thank you. I wouldn't go Castagne. They can't keep a clean sheet for Toffee. I wouldn't go with Zuma either because we are leaky. It's Gehi or Webster. I'd go Gehi or Dunk if you could afford Dunk. But if Dunk's out of the question,
he obviously won't
financially,
be Dunk, yeah.
Then go Gehi. Webster's not a bad shout, though.
Yeah, Webster, you should be pretty safe. If De Zerbi decided to play a back four, I'd be very surprised if that wasn't Dunk and Webster. I think it's because it's so short-term, you're okay there. One of the things I've described is like if you need it till the end, you've got people like Levi Cole. Well, we don't know where we stand with him. We haven't seen him in a Brighton shirt. But over the next two game weeks, yeah, you should be pretty safe, I would have thought, with Webster.
David Coles, how do you feel about being part of the anti-growth coalition?
Excuse me?
I don't know. David, we need more information than that. What's the anti-growth coalition?
What's the anti-growth coalition?
What are we anti-growing?
Weed? I'm anti-weed growth.
Coalition. Liz Truss versus the anti-growth coalition. Okay. I think Liz Truss has said that anyone that's against her or doesn't like her plans are anti-growth. Okay.
Okay, fine. Skip. I'm anti-growth, whatever.
Yeah.
Shows how much attention I'm paying to politics.
Me too. Matt, clean sheet wipeout. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts later in the week, Matt, whether or not you think you'll beat us. What's the
spoiler, I think that's going to be a no.
What's the largest animal you think you could beat in a fight with your bare hands? For context, almost 10% of Americans said a gorilla. And more than 10% said a wolf. Not sure what they were smoking.
I love Americans.
They ain't got a fucking chance against a gorilla. Not a fucking chance.
I suspect you probably could have asked that survey to British citizens and got a similar response. Yeah, what? I'll take out a gorilla. What? Nah, mate, I'm not beating up a fox. Fucking running, mate. Depends, like, I wouldn't want to fight a rat.
Yeah. It's got to be slow moving. Something like a pig, for example.
Kill a snail.
Thing is, like, I mean, I think I could take a cow. All I need is to be quick enough to get on its back. Make sure it doesn't get me with a kick out.
Have you forgotten that you're only a white belt?
Yeah, but if I can get my arms around his neck, I can choke out a cow.
And what if this guy flips up his back legs?
You've got to be careful. Once you're on, you've got to be on. But I reckon it could choke. In theory, all I need to be able to do.
Did anybody else laugh in the back when he said, when you're on, you got to be on?
I reckon I could choke a cow. I'm not having that, mate. I reckon so.
No. Ant? No, obviously not. Gerbil, hamster? They're not too vicious, are they?
I'm not sure.
But a little
pig. I feel
pig.
Like these questions need to go in my WhatsApp group for my jiu-jitsu club.
What's the biggest bird you think you could take out?
The thing is, it's their speed of movement. So you've got to be able to be quick enough to get on their back.
Remember, you're just a white belt.
Yeah, but so once you're on their back, that's fine.
How are you
going to
get on a bird's back?
That's it. Birds are quick, right? So birds are difficult.
Once you're on, you're on.
Flamingo. Because you're not going to win this fight by punching something. Animals are quick, you know, that's a problem. You want something slow moving. James has gone with tortoise.
So would you, what about an elephant? You're going to take on an elephant, you're going to choke that as well.
I can't get my arms around his neck.
Head's too big.
Can't get my neck.
Cow,
head's
you can.
Not important. Neck.
So what about a bull?
No.
Why not? What's the difference?
Speed and also the risk, the risk of a blow, like being butted or kicked or whatever from a bull would be much greater than a cow. They're more aggressive, you know.
If a cow gets you off and it tramples on you, mate, game over.
There is a risk element of being kicked or trampled, which is why I wouldn't go with a horse, for example.
Are you American?
I reckon a cow. I reckon a cow.
I reckon a hamster.
At the start of the season, everyone was talking about how Trent, thanks for this question, JC, how low he's been priced. He clearly hasn't lived up to the hype we all gave him. Can you think of anyone else who hasn't lived up to the hype as much as this? If not, just anyone who comes close. Yeah, Lauryn Hill paid tickets to see her in concert and she was shit. I think, to be honest, she was also probably really high and unwell through drug addiction at the time.
You've told this story before.
Yeah, so Lauryn Hill was a massive disappointment.
I took this as an FPL question.
Yeah, but I couldn't think of anyone. So.
Okay, fine. Bruno Fernandes last year?
Yeah.
I think. Just fell away. We literally never speak about him on the pods at all, basically, anymore. Not in terms of asset buying, anyway. Look, Trent, if Liverpool sort themselves out and Trent sorts himself out, and they will at some point, he's going to be going get quite quickly. I think you should always be aware of that. But yeah, right now, tough. As I said, it almost feels like if you've come this far. Like if I owned him, I'd still start him against City. I just think it's any game, any time, he could do it. I wouldn't consider benching him, even though I think City will highly likely beat them comfortably. The answer's no.
Alex Turner, the kick off time between Chelsea and United has finally been confirmed.
Oh,
15 days notice.
Yeah.
The away allocation has been cut from 2,900 to 2,300. Police only wanted 1,500. That means 600 tickets sent to fans have to be cancelled, along with travel. This is scandalous, isn't it? When will away fans be treated with respect?
It's absolutely fucking disgraceful. It really is.
Sam O'Sullivan wants to know, what rationale can the police have for reducing the allocation for a 5:30 Saturday kickoff compared to a 4:30 Sunday kickoff?
Right. What should have happened is...
Why was it moved a day early for people that don't know?
Basically, they announced the TV games before the Champions League draw. Okay, Champions League draw was what, last week of August or something? We played Sporting Lisbon on the 9th, 10th of September, something like that, it was like 2 weeks later. Not Sporting Lisbon, sorry, Marseille. So Chelsea Man United was announced for the 4:30 Sunday kickoff. For whatever reason, there were a number of games were announced with provisions of what would happen if Champions League team was playing on a Tuesday. They were put on the TV on a Sunday, had a game on a Tuesday. Like, certain games were going to swap and yada, yada, yada. For some reason, there was never any provision for Chelsea against Manchester United. I don't know if they thought they were being clever and had worked something out where Chelsea weren't going to play that night. I have no idea. But it was no provision to move it. So you literally know, end of August, for a game in mid-October, you've got what? Six, 7 weeks notice or something, that this game's going to move. They announced that the game's going to move back to the Saturday. No kickoff time confirmed. It goes on. Then a couple of weeks ago, Tottenham and Newcastle was the Saturday 5:30 kickoff. They moved it to the Sunday 4:30. Oh, yeah. At least it's only around the corner for Newcastle fans, right? Never mind the fact that a little bit like with your club and my club, a lot of people travelled long distance. Ain't many Tottenham fans live in Tottenham. No. But obviously for Newcastle fans, particularly bad. And they would have booked trains and all that. Every 5:30 kickoff, they probably ain't getting home. Booked hotels in London Saturday night. Are they getting home from 4:30 kickoff on a Sunday? No, probably not. So you've got to change the trains, change hotels. Disgraceful. Anyway, that gets moved. So you assume then Chelsea and Manchester United will be the 5:30 Saturday. Okay, nothing announced. Liverpool Leeds becomes 7:45 in like game week 14 or something. Still nothing for Chelsea Man United. And literally, just before it got announced, someone put something in the Chelsea Slack channel and I said, it's going to only be a police issue now. Where, for whatever reason, what the major difference is between 4:30 on a Sunday and 5:30 on a Saturday, I have no fucking clue. What difference is that from a police perspective?
I'm not sure, James.
I don't have the answer to that. Do they not think Manchester United fans are going to drink from 12 to half past 4 on a Sunday? We're not going to drink from 12 to half past 5 on a Saturday. That meant a difference. So I don't know where the Met Police are at. Manchester United's supporters trust are trying to sue the Metropolitan Police now for the fans who have already been sold the tickets and already bought them. What's going to happen? I presume Manchester United have not released the tickets to fans. Otherwise, that would be chaos. It's absolutely ridiculous. What are they going to do? This also happens. There is a part problem at Chelsea, but I don't think it's Chelsea's issue, judging by this now, Metropolitan Police. So I went to Chelsea in August, and you've got... I was quite on the corner. It's like a 3-4 seat cut-off where they put the petition in. You always remember what it's tarpaulin or whatever you call it. Yeah. But when we play there in the cup, and they give you the whole end, they block off about 20 on either side. To reduce the capacity for some reason. I don't know why. For some reason, they've decided they want to do that with Manchester United. It's fucking unbelievable. It's disgraceful. Stop taking the piss. They won't get the message. It feels like, because of COVID, where they could move things lastminute.com, the TV companies feel like they've got, we did this during COVID. Now you're catering for the fucking supporter again. And it's really, really not on at all. Needs to change. Sorry. I could keep going for a while.
Adam wants to know if Gary Neville is a hypocrite working for Qatari TV.
Yes and no. Yeah, let's see. I'm inclined to say yes, he is.
Yeah.
But if he goes on there and goes on their station and highlights the problems why he's there and he's allowed to do it, then that's a big deal. If he does do that, if he doesn't, if it just becomes he's going to talk about football and he's taking the money, then yeah, he's a hypocrite. But let's see.
Schifo, no question, but since my best friend is an AC Milan fan, I thought I should tell you that he thinks Tomori is off it this season so far. He calls it new contract syndrome, which is apparently the same thing that Mo Salah has right now.
So, look, I didn't watch Chelsea and Milan last week. And I was tempted to, for the sole reason to watch Fikayo Tomori, because as I keep saying on numerous pods, I haven't seen as much of him as other people have. I didn't. I watched the goal show because it's more enjoyable for my life. And he was certainly at fault for Chelsea's, I want to say, second goal. But the way he defended the cross was, if it had been Maguire, people would go be fucking mad about it. It was Tomori and it was all quiet on the timeline. I was literally looking around for people criticising Tomori. It was like nothing. So take it as what you will. But yeah, thanks for that.
David Hunter, another start for Kepa today. Too early to go there? What price is he? 5 million as well?
Nah. It's like 4.4 or something, mate.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's not bad.
4.4 or 4.5, one or the other, I'll check.
Nah, not for me.
As said on the main podcast earlier, he is Chelsea's number one, we think, until he gives people reason to not be his number one. He is 4.4. Who are Chelsea playing in upcoming weeks? Who could score from long range? That's very nice of the FPO app to give me literally zero fixtures. I'm not on the app, I'm on the website. Fixtures for Chelsea? None.
Villa?
So fucking helpful.
Villa, then Brentford?
Villa is next.
Then Brentford.
John McGinn scores on Sunday.
Okay.
Brentford, long Rangers, no. But you, when he plays in goal, this is honestly what you think. You do think shoot from long range. Really, really do. Like Sonny, Kane, if we played them at the moment, yeah. Go from distance, absolutely. They've got between now and the break, Villa, Brentford, Manchester United, Brighton, Arsenal, Newcastle, Bruno. There you go. There's a shout for you. Bruno Fernandes scored Chelsea in that 5:30 PM kickoff.
Cole wants to know, what have you thought of Cole Palmer's cameo so far this season? I would say that, to be honest, you and me, when you're coming on at 4-0s and 5-0s for Man City, I think we could come on and, you'd want to see these young kids, right? They're obviously in and around the squad and they obviously consider them good enough to come on into the first team, but you want to see them play, you know? Show us what you got. Coming on at 75, 80 minutes and...
The problem people like him and his position, particularly Cole Palmer, is he will get next Foden comparisons. Foden was doing this at this age, and Foden is a one-off generational talent.
Fucking four Premier League medals at 20.
I did notice Palmer nearly scored at the weekend, and he had a shot, went for the near post, and fucking Haaland was giving him daggers. but it looks a good talent.
Yeah. David Hunter, not sure if this story has ever been discussed before, but did you know that Danny Welbeck's grandfather, Stan, was a bomb disposal expert in World War II? I didn't know that he was. And
when was that question asked?
On the 8th of October.
So is that Saturday?
Yes.
Has it got a time?
6:21 PM.
I was just thinking, this feels like the sort of thing that might have got mentioned in commentary and people found quite funny. And as I was at the stadium, I haven't got a clue. No, I've never heard that.
David Beaton, rank at their peaks. Suarez, Benzema, Lewandowski.
At their peaks?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, Benzema's arguably last season, isn't it? Wow, that's super tough because I think on goals, it has to be Lewandowski. But in terms of all-round ability, I mean, Suarez was capable of winning football matches on his own. I think Luis Suarez right at peak would be the one for me. Lewandowski is an amazing finisher, but does need supply line. Benzema and Suarez have more capabilities to win games by themselves, and Suarez certainly did numerous times. Win football matches by himself. So Suarez.
Harbour Boy. Is Reece James the biggest FPL troll of them all? Is there anyone else who seems to be so good but delivers so few points? I'm not I'm not on board with that. I think he, I mean, I've had him numerous times where he's hauled.
Did you see him midweek? Like, they all returned, didn't they? Cancelo, yeah, Trent, Reece James, all of them. But all of them in the Champions League.
We've all owned Reece James when he has returned as well.
Even Perisic clean sheet in Frankfurt.
He's not the biggest trot of them all.
No,
definitely worse.
Reality is, if he played at the weekend, which wasn't his choice not to start, was it? So
for me, it's got to be Leandro fucking Trossard. And I don't know how he's back in my team, mate.
Are you going to catch him in game week 12? Have you thought about it?
Sure. If it will make people happy. Gary Shepherd, are we going to have a Patreon Christmas get-together? I think we should plan something. It'll be in the World Cup as well. We could probably do it around a World Cup game.
Yeah, I see zero reason why that can't happen.
Yes. Watch out. Tickets coming soon. £50 entry.
Maybe even what the finals on the Sunday. Maybe
18th.
Maybe even the day before on the Saturday, maybe even or something.
Don't mind that at all. Clean sheet wipeout, Matt. This might need a pod rather than a response to this question. It certainly continues to fuel the debate about football and the lack of accepting homosexuality. What are your thoughts on Casillas and Puyol yesterday?
My God. So,
fucking hell.
Are you seeing all this?
Yeah. I saw your tweet saying that you respect Casillas.
And
I
do you know what?
What's he done?
I
thought he might have retired or something.
Me and Katie went out yesterday. I actually watched one of the reasons I was very quiet on Twitter yesterday, although I've learned to be a lot more quiet on Twitter, is I was watching the games a little bit behind. Like I'd recorded Palace and Leeds and Arsenal and Liverpool. Was a little bit behind and staying off the socials. So I didn't get home until about 3:30. And I started watching Palace Leeds. No, a little bit earlier, about 3:00. Anyway, we was out at the park and stuff and was going to Sainsbury's and I was driving the car to Sainsbury's. I saw a few of the guys had put in Slack just before Palace Leeds kicked off. That Casillas had come out as gay. And I was like, okay, this is awkward for me now because I need to tweet something because this is a very big deal. If one of the greatest ever goalkeepers and former World Cup winners coming out as gay, this is a big deal. But I don't want to go looking into socials because I'm trying to avoid the score. And I waited about 15, 20 minutes before I tweeted because something didn't add up. It didn't feel right. I was suspicious about it.
Who was he? Who did he tag in the tweet?
And then I thought to myself, he didn't tag anyone. I thought to myself, no, you've got to take it on face value for what it is. I can't be tweeting and going, something don't feel right here. Let's hope this is true. Yada, yada, yada. So tweet it out. And then obviously, because I was avoiding all the socials and stuff, I didn't know till plenty of that, like quite a while later. I think it was maybe after I'd finished watching Palace Leeds. I searched for him specifically on Twitter and had seen it was like blowing up, like what a dickhead. And so Carlos Puyol would then responded to Casillas' tweet saying about, oh yeah, it's time to tell our story and stuff. Then people were saying, are they in a relationship and stuff? Then Casillas is come out apologising, says it's not true. So apparently, the reporting in Spain that Casillas thought it would be funny and Puyol joined in because Casillas was kept getting linked with supermodels or something. And he wanted to calm the rumours down. Oh yeah, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do to calm out. I'll come out as the most famous gay footballer of all time. What an absolute bell when it ends with end, honestly. It's such stupidity of people. And Puyol to join in as well. Just they thought it was funny. They don't realise the consequences of that's just another step. Your boy Carvalho in he's Carvalho, isn't it? The Australian
What's
who come
Feliz
out.
Feliz Domingo.
I have no idea who that is.
Because that's the hashtag that was on the end of the tweet. What's that? Feliz Domingo. Huh? Oh, Happy Sunday.
Happy okay. Sunday.
I thought that was a person or something that you'd tagged in.
If you look for the... I mean, the tweet's obviously been deleted now, but you can translate the tweets and stuff, obviously,
yeah,
at the
I
time.
Hope you respect me. I'm gay.
So, what's the name of the Australian fellow who come out as gay? Was it Carvalho? What was his name? Anyway, he tweeted, and he's so spot on. It's like, these people are like fucking heroes to me who are inspiring in my career. And do you know how difficult it is to come out and be open in this society? And then you've got people like they just come out and belittle it. As it's just set it back again. And you see the way they get mocked. And so obviously, as soon as Casillas sends that tweet, what happens? Homophobes fucking everywhere in his tweet, right? And so then if you're sitting there thinking, oh, gee, I'm ready to come out. And then you see all that, you think...
Some royal fuck-up.
Yeah, listen, man. Just fucking pricks.
And it's just... You take two steps forward, five steps back.
Oh, it's more than five.
It's ridiculous. And then the other thing is to come out and say afterwards, I was hacked. It's just such a fucking cop-out. Such a cop-out. If you fucked up, just say you fucked up.
Literally say... You want to put out a long-worded fucking statement. We fucked up and we're really sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, dickheads. I always thought he was fucking overrated as well. Anyway, I'm not going to fucking lie.
Mickey Race. James, have you ever thought about reading children's books for a living? I put the pod on in the car and both girls normally fall asleep with 10 minutes.
It's because they're sick of hearing me fucking swear, probably.
Nah, but we'll get the audiobook one day published. Sam O'Sullivan. So if you are a patron and you haven't listened to the audiobook, do it soon. Because when we publish it on Amazon, you're going to have to buy it and we'll have to take it off Patreon. So, you know, listen to it now.
I ain't finding that shit to delete it.
Sam O'Sullivan, over 7 million FPL managers captained Haaland. Is that a record? Probably.
Yeah, I imagine so. Be interesting to see what the number is this week. Wait, I say that. It would have been more interesting if, say, Liverpool had played really well, won and kept a clean sheet yesterday, for example. I mean, we didn't even talk about captaincy on the pod. I don't even think there's...
Debate.
Not really.
Lewis James, interested to know your thoughts on all the West Ham goals today. Referee was biased all game. Will some accountability be held for referees ever in football? I'm assuming Lewis is a Fulham fan.
It's Mr. Fulham ITK, is Lewis.
I don't think... the ref was biased. I think they're incompetent. I mean, but that's in pretty much every game. You see it fucking all the time. I don't think he was biased. I just think they're fucking...
Yeah, it's just...
And the handballs, the Scamacca and the Antonio, you can't blame the ref for those. There's no way that... I mean, the Scamacca's once grazed his hand. The ref, if he doesn't see it, you can't blame him for not having fucking magnifying glass vision. And the Antonio one, I don't think it's the ref's fault either, because the player was blocking his line of sight.
They absolutely, but VAR, absolutely sure. Should be given the technology. And
VAR, listen, blame them all day.
As said earlier, morally, I don't want that Schumacher goal to get disallowed, right? He's literally, the fact that he kind of scrapes his fingers doesn't really alter what happens particularly. But it does, and by law, therefore it should be disallowed. How they couldn't see it, well... It's been, I think it was BBC on Match of the Day. They zoomed in on it. And you could see it clearly how it's like three of his fingers move completely. So how you can't see that, well, they need to work on their technology, don't they?
Yeah, mad one. Mad one, to be honest with you.
We covered the incidents on the pod anyway. So, but I agree. It's not bias. It's just incompetency. Yeah. I didn't think that the... And I'm always more comfortable saying this when... we've not won. I didn't think the referee was very good at our game on Saturday either, to be honest. I just thought it was shit. I don't think it's bias.
Dan L, is Diaz more important to Liverpool than Salah?
Well, find out if he's out for a while, I suppose. No.
Dan L also says the Papa John's trophy was played last midweek. What are your thoughts? Do you think it should go back to just the lower league teams? Most, if not all, fans of these teams have very little interest because of the Premier League under-21's involvement. I'd actually rather have the National League teams involved. So all the under-21s and under-23s in there now, are they?
This idea of the big clubs fielding under-21 teams cannot be labelled as under-21 teams if it happens in the League Cup. It cannot be labelled about that. So... I think this is going to happen where the European clubs are not going to field teams in the League Cup. If that's the way it goes and they still decide to put field teams out, you cannot have a football match that is labelled as, let's say, Newcastle don't qualify for Europe. Newcastle at home to Arsenal under-21s or something. That cannot happen. It has to be Newcastle versus Arsenal, for example. And this is a major issue.
In the Papa
John's,
are they labelling them under-21s?
Yeah, well, then they legitimately are. And that's... That's fine. It's completely...
It automatically, like, you can't beat our under-21s.
It's completely belittled that competition. We had a situation a couple of years ago as well where Chelsea very nearly got to the final. And no one actually wants that. It's like, okay, this is good to give these kids kind of experience of a little bit of competitive men's football. But fucking hell, don't go and win it. I think I want to say they lost to Lincoln in the regional final before the actual final or something. Yeah, it would be better if it was just the League One and League Two teams. The problem is these clubs need the games to raise money on the gate. It's very important to them. They've got to. Most clubs at that level need to be playing twice a week, and that competition obviously helps with that. Albeit attendances are massively down on what they would normally be.
Yep. Chris Tellers, who's the better 1 week punt for KDB in game week 12? Sterling versus Brentford or Salah against West Ham?
Salah.
In seasons gone by, that wouldn't even be a debate. It's now a 5 second pause and a thought.
I'll be honest, it wasn't much of a debate for me between Salah and Sterling. I was trying to think of an alternative answer to either of
fine.
Them.
Danny McDonald, Trossard, there you go, Chris Tellers. Danny McDonald, how bad can this get for Liverpool in the league? Should Klopp be brave and drop Trent and Salah for the City game? You don't drop your two of your best players.
Dropping Salah against City would be fucking insanity considering the way he normally plays against them. It might actually be the right game for Salah. This system is not right for Mo, judging by what I saw yesterday. It ain't going to help him. It certainly ain't going to help Trent from those two from an FPL perspective. Personal opinion would be that they should play probably 4-3-3 against City. So I think the KDB beyond between the lines, and if Foden comes in off the flank and stuff, it
could be a destruction.
I think they could, yeah. They're not pressing to the same level. Not pressing to the same level or anything. Yeah, how bad could it be? Well,
Man United Mark II, 6-3.
It could be. No, I took the question as in beyond the weekend. How bad can it be? Is obviously Liverpool finish outside the top four. There's a gap now, right? I'm looking at this weekend and I'm thinking, what, are we 10 points clear of them?
Arsenal are 14 clear, so what are you behind Arsenal? 10 points, that's a lot, man.
Admittedly, they've got a game in hand, which is at home to Wolves. You might as well put that on the fucking board at the moment because they won't concede goals to Wolves. No one concedes goals. Even Liverpool kick a clean sheet against them. But I'm thinking win Saturday, like home game, make it fucking 13 points, and then they've got to play City. And you start looking at that, and you just, even if I said at the start of the season, I said to you, right, Liverpool at their best, give Tottenham a 13-point head start, what do you think? And you'd probably say, yeah, I think Liverpool will probably finish, I would have put it at, so, let's say 18 points, something like that, probably, right? But now we're, what, 9, 10 games in, and you've got that 13 points on the board.
And they're not at their best.
And they're not at their best. Yeah. And then so you start thinking, and most people would probably look at the moment and probably think, Tottenham finish maybe third, fourth, maybe? I'm going to guess we are third at the league at the moment, but everybody thinks that there's something ill with us. And there are ills with us. There aren't ills with us like there are with Liverpool at the moment.
Agreed.
Because Liverpool look like they lose any game of football right now.
Sam O'Sullivan's got Martinelli, De Bruyne, Haaland and Cancelo. Similar to me, I just got Foden. And money in all of them. Could I get away with just going with 10 in game week 12 so I don't have to sell and rebuy one at a higher price? It's something that I've considered as well. I'm not going to lie. Depending on if I can't find the right value, I think
for you, you've got that combination with Foden. Yeah. You might have more power in not selling because then you haven't got to buy back. So then when you get to 12, you can go into another Arsenal
Jesus and
Saliba. A Liverpool or whatever at that point, rather than your priority is probably going to need to get Foden back. So in my case, I'm looking to move it so I can get the Foden that then moves the money, right? Mm. So for me, it's sell De Bruyne.
Yeah, I don't think going with 10 is a big deal, to be honest with you. I think you can do it. Gary Mantle, I know the answer seems obvious, but James, who do you want to win in the Arsenal-Liverpool game with us?
Well, yesterday, yeah. Liverpool.
I'm perfectly happy for City, Arsenal, Spurs and Chelsea to pull away as the top four and keep Liverpool and United out. So it was Arsenal for me.
I have a different level of hatred, right? So yeah. It's interesting, though, based on what I just said about you can put that 13-point gap there. I mean, look, when the whistle went, it's the first thing I thought was, fuck, mate, we're 10 points above Liverpool. So, yes, if Arsenal were going to win a game like that, you take the silver lining, if you will. I remember when the year we pushed Chelsea and we finished second, Chelsea played Arsenal at home. Remember the great Hazard goal? Where he held them all off on his own. And we were the 5:30 kickoff at home to Middlesbrough. And they were the 12:30 at home to Arsenal. And I didn't watch the game.
Wow.
I didn't watch the game because I knew the best thing for Tottenham was for Arsenal to win.
You didn't want it.
So I didn't watch it. And when Chelsea won, I just give myself the solace of, well, Arsenal were still fucking miles behind us. That's it. So, yeah, you take the... I'm all for taking the positive out of these situations. But, no, like, when Firmino scored yesterday, I went, get in. I wasn't jumping around the room, but I was like, get in.
Adam, do you think it's best to get a wild card in game week 12 or in 13? Without knowing your team, it's a bit hard to answer, but...
Which week to wild card in?
Yeah.
Got to be 13. 13.
Yeah. Sam O'Sullivan, is it worth betting against Haaland captaincy with Kane this week? Kane, I feel sorry for, because he's got 10 attacking returns, 8 goals, 2 assists in 9 games.
He's not even to get his...
Nah. In any normal circumstance.
He hasn't blanked since game week 1.
Yeah, yeah. It's mad, isn't it? 63 points, so good, but no one's going near him.
Look,
well,
can
no
you...
No one's going near him, but...
I think, based on what I saw of Everton last night... it will be very dependent on what Tottenham do when they win the ball back and how quickly we can play through them if they want to come and press. I would think from what I saw last night, Sonny is a more likely beneficiary than Harry. That said, Harry has a super record historically against Everton as he does against Leicester. And he didn't blank against Leicester. And he hasn't blanked since game week 1. It's phenomenal. If you were going to take Haaland on, yes, probably Harry or Sonny would be the way to go. Can you? Yes, of course you can. I'm not going to. And even if I had Kane and Sonny and Haaland all sitting in the team, I would still captain Haaland this week, personally. I genuinely think they'll go to Liverpool and win about 4-2 as it stands. And I think we'll probably beat Everton, probably like 2-0 or something.
Daniel, how is Rashford's goal not given because of handball, but Antonio's is, which is more blatant? Sorry, Serge.
We can't talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
But thank you for the question.
Lewis James, I thought Fulham's home atmosphere was bad, but West Ham's today was by far worse.
Is that Lewis digging you out again?
A club as massive as West Ham should be able to string more songs than just bubbles at the start and finish of the game. But Lewis is not wrong, right? Lewis is not wrong. I didn't go to the game yesterday, which we'll talk about more on West Ham, and it was shit at Wolves, and I knew it'd be shit.
Did something stop you from going, or
could be asked?
Okay, fine.
I had the choice was to train at my gym and then watch the game on TV and be ready at 4 o'clock to go and do some other shit, and it was my mum's birthday, or literally at 12 o'clock run down and not get home till like 6:30. I was like that, and not be able to train in the morning. I was like, for Fulham at home. I just can't be asked. Easily took my ticket.
Anyway, so answer the question.
He's not wrong in that the atmosphere's pony, and that's part of it. Like when I was there, I'm just there and I'm sitting and watching the game, and I'm part of the problem, right? I'm not one of the singing brigade. But I think I had a really interesting conversation with Clayton about this Ashburton Army thing, right? That Emirates had the same problem where the atmosphere was shit when they moved there and people wouldn't sing and what have you. It's taken a collective, organised effort to try and build up that atmosphere.
Can I say, these fucking dickheads wearing black behind the goal at Arsenal, listen, I was 10, 15 yards from last week. It's no fucking big deal. Honestly, they're not making super noise or anything like that.
The atmosphere
is improving at the Emirates because of the connection between the fans and what they're seeing with their team on the pitch, rather than these 50 fucking kids behind the goal. 50 fucking kids ain't making the other 58,000 or so sing louder. It's the connection. You could feel it yesterday on the TV.
But you see
it's the connection between the fans and the players.
Yes, agreed. But I think having a an organized group that are your ultras, if you want to call it, because you see it with all the Europeans, right? They have their singing section, makes a big difference. There's none at West Ham. There's no section that is the end behind the goal. It's not loud. They don't sing throughout the whole game from start to finish. Football, like these things. But then there's certain games where it is rowdy and lively and what have you. So it's not that it can't happen. It's just that when you go to so many games, and there's Fulham at home, is unfortunately, sorry, Lewis, it's not like fucking a big game.
If you're a Fulham fan,
and you just sit and watch. You go and it's like watching it on TV, but watching it live. That's all it is. I go and sit there and just have a coffee in the
office. Here's one for the patrons to digest and debate, perhaps on the maybe on the random channel later or something, right? And I'm going to use Fulham as an example, but this could apply to a lot of teams. I'm going to put it like this. A Fulham fan has never gone away from home and heard a good atmosphere anywhere.
That's a fair point, right?
Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yeah, because Fulham's not a big game for anybody.
Yeah.
So, but also, Lewis is not wrong in that the atmosphere at our place is a bit shit at the moment. It's flat. It's just... And the thing is, I'm part of the problem. It's not like I go there and suddenly start trying to get chants going
or
whatever.
You sat here last week and you said they needed me.
Well, that was I felt like I'm going to go and make an effort to try and help. But when you get there and the stadium's like 70% full, and that was train strikes and whatever else, and I've got a row of six. Like, me and Clayton were sat in six seats just sitting and chilling. So, and he'd been on the piss all day, so, you know. It was just a nice chat. He's not wrong, and I don't have an answer for it. But also, it's not always like that, right? There are games where it does get, where the atmosphere is really lively. So I don't know what it is. But I suppose it helps when you're playing for something that the fans are going to get more up for it.
I think the ones for you last year, Liverpool home game and the Chelsea home game, which you won 3-2. And one was 4:30 on a Sunday and one was 12:30 on a Saturday. But at that point, there was like a rising of genuinely, once you'd won those, I think even more so once you'd won the Chelsea game, was then this actual belief of like, could you do something special and finish fourth? So like, for the Arsenal fans at the moment, and they're not, a lot of them are fucking silly, but the majority of them will look at it and go, as good as they're playing, fuck me, City. But they will, none of them will admit it. Well, none of the sensible ones would admit it. But in the back of their mind, they will be thinking, yeah, maybe this could be something special, right?
Yeah. And then obviously Sevilla we had, but that was midweek under the lights.
Yeah, that would be
But then the problem is the two European games that followed were first legs. And obviously first legs fucking quite different because you can't win it on
you
the
can't
night.
Party. It's very rare. Yeah.
It's tough. I'm very rare.
I remember the night we beat Dortmund. Last 16, first leg at Wembley, beating 3-0. And it was 1-0 with like 5 minutes to go and we won 3-0. Literally go out the ground bouncing because 1-0 is great, 2-0 is brilliant, 3-0.
Amazing.
No one gets... And literally, everyone's celebrating. You go down the stairs and the first comment I heard from someone else was, unless you think we're getting beat 4-0 last week, you ain't even fucking Tottenham. Like, and it is like that. You're like, it's 95% done, but you're still shitting yourself.
Mickey Ray's, have Liverpool missed Mane a lot more this season?
Of course they've missed him.
Yeah. Is Trent only good at going forward and not very good defensively?
I think Trent has... I showed a really interesting clip last week during the Talking Tactics video, which was a moment during the Brighton game where Gross tried to square it, Van Dijk got a block in. They'd played through, and if Gross had got it through, Estupinan had a tap in on the back post. He might have been slightly offside, in fairness. But what happened was Liverpool had a throw in, basically in line with Brighton's penalty area, and Firmino turned inside, and I can't remember what happened, but Trent tried to make a run in behind from out to in, like the old kind of Lundberg run at Arsenal, from out to in between the centre backs. And the ball broke down. And Trent's now basically Liverpool's furthest player up the pitch. And Brighton are counter-attacking with pace. He broke his fucking neck to work so hard to get back. And Estupinan's kind of clear on the far side. Brighton at one stage had a 5-on-3. Trent's working so hard to get back. And I think Caicedo played a pass off. And as he passed, he stopped and he was in Trent's line of run. So he halted Trent a bit. And then Trent ambled for the rest. He'd nearly got his Estupinan. And then it was like something psychologically switched off on him to stop running. So I think there's a mentality issue. I think he's suffering. I think that's obvious at the moment. I think Van Dijk's suffering mentally at the moment as well. They're having, frankly, a crisis of confidence for whatever reason. Maybe it is mental fatigue from last season. And when you're having a crisis of confidence, the simple things suddenly seem very difficult. And when they have setbacks at the moment, it's just escalating. So, like yesterday, they actually played really well, I thought, in the last 20 minutes of the first half. They were in control. Arsenal actually scored at their weakest moment of the game. And you're probably sitting there thinking, I played really well here, going in losing. Then Arsenal come out the traps, looked like it was going to blitz them in the second half. And they had the positive of scoring, but didn't recover. I can't remember Liverpool having another decent effort in the last 35 minutes of the game. When could you ever imagine Liverpool trying to win a game of football and not having like a shot in 35 minutes of football? So, yeah, they're suffering at the moment. Tactically, physically, mentally, the lot. It's all come together at the same time. And it is recoverable because they've got too many good players. Trent is a super, super player offensively. The deeper he is, the better for him. I also think he would be well advised, but it's part of Liverpool's tactical structure. He needs to narrow his game and let everything sit on the outside of him. And if someone takes him on the outside and gets a crossover and someone beats Van Dijk on the back post, fine. But everything's happening inside of him at the moment. And it's not always fault. It's part of the structure.
A few more VAR at West Ham questions, which we can skip past. It's amazing how they were not the worst that I've seen, but also created the most controversy.
I think the reality is you scored 3 goals and all of them were controversial.
Yeah, it's funny. Anyway, Jarvo's question is, how good is Scamacca? Scamacca? I'll call him Scamacca. Scamacca. Scamacca.
Ah, Scamacca, your face.
Scamacca. I mean, he could have had a few yesterday. A couple of headers that he took really well. Like, he did the right thing, but Leno pulled off a couple of decent saves. A few past the post. I think he's growing into the game, into the Premier League now. But he's got all different attributes, right? He's good in the air, he's strong.
I loved his finish in Anderlecht. It was great as well.
He's got lots of different elements to his game. And as he grows, he's going to be a top, top striker. I think, I mean, maybe not this season, but he could be a 20-goal a season striker.
How quick is he or isn't he? I've found that hard to gauge so far.
Quick enough.
But not quick.
I've not seen him rapidly blitz someone for pace, getting in behind. It's not really his game.
Like Kane pace?
Probably similar, I would say. It's quick enough. It'll cover the grounds. But like if he was one-on-one, I don't know. It'd be fine. But it's his all-round play. He's a good player. And he's neat and tidy. Like you can see neat and tidy elements to
him. He strikes me as confident.
Yeah, I would have gone and said moody. But I don't think he's Sebastian Haller levels of moody. But
What's that tattoo on his neck?
His whole fucking body. I don't trust people with neck tattoos. That's one thing. But, you know, Scamacca's all right.
Edison's is the best.
Lauren wants to know, I see Wifey transferred in the highest point scorer of the game week for the lowest point scorer of the game week. Will we see a new feature on Patreon called Planet FPL Wifey's Tip of the Week?
Literally, someone tweeted me after I tweeted on Saturday and said, you do know that if like he does well this week, you've endorsed the sale. And it's your fault. I'm like, yep, absolutely get that. I was just wondering if... Yeah, sorry, Lauren. Carl Walker-Peters -1.
Lowest point scorer of the week.
Mm.
Okay.
Sorry.
Whitebeard, thoughts on Chelsea defence? Purely.
So no, you can't have it.
Both from a purely footballing perspective as well as FPL, is Chilwell a hold till the World Cup or a quick move on?
Ugh.
Pain, listen to the main show.
Got a hold.
John wants
if,
to know.
If you sell him and he starts at Brentford, you're gutted. Hold him.
John, would a front line of Haaland, Darwin and Jesus be too heavy, considering working towards that with mid-price midfielders such as Foden, Zaha, Martinelli and Bowen? It's doable.
No, and you also have to remember that you're going into a dead-end scenario. So if you get the 16, you go, this was shit. Then you can fuck it all up with your effective wild card. So, no, I think it's absolutely fine to do and try these things at the moment. Absolutely fine. I'd make the case that if Mitrovic is fit, I would not want to be without him for these next two. I'm to Bournemouth and Villa. After that is a possible case. Like, Mitrovic finishes with the two Manchester clubs. So can you come back? Yes, it's money dependent. I looked at potentially how I could manoeuvre moving Solanke to Jesus in 13 to go with Mitrovic and Haaland. And it's probably not going to work for me, actually. And the money's just going to be too tight. But yeah, I'd want something like that for the end. Jesus, Mitrovic, Haaland. Can you go Jesus, Nunes, Haaland? Yes, absolutely fine for the last 4 weeks.
Josh wants to know if James, you'll be tuning into Harry Kane's CBeebies bedtime story today.
I've messaged the missus, because I did see it pop up on the timeline, she said I sent her the tweet I'd seen, and she said, "Do you want me to tape it for you?" And there's like, yeah, and Harry,
and what for? Oh mate,
I think yesterday for the first time we got a don't know.
Okay.
We're nearly there.
John says, is Darwin the best forward to get from Liverpool, or Bobby or Jota better options?
Bobby Firmino is every fucking year has like a random hat-trick and shit. And yes, his returns...
Oh, 5-6 goals this year.
Yeah, great, right. Wicked. He'll go like 15 without a goal or something. He can be the catalyst, by the way, I think. For if he can hit top form to Roberto Firmino, we know at his best, I think can be a real catalyst for change and getting it back on side for Liverpool, but not in a goal scoring sense.
No.
Needs to play deeper.
FPL Roberto, I'm assuming you don't have one because I can't recall you ever mentioning it, but do either of you have a pet? Nope.
No, I won't say it, no.
We do have a squirrel that likes to come regularly into the garden. There's one particular squirrel. He comes every morning, but I can't call him a pet.
There are many, many animals in my house. They are all of the cuddly toy variety.
Nice. John Jacobson, is Henderson fine for tonight for Sky, or should we look at getting a Villa asset into captain? I'm just rolling with Nico Williams, mate.
Yeah, so. I think the conclusion I've come to is that if Nico Williams is not in the starting, not in the Forest lineup, I'm just going to captain him anyway and fucking leave it. He'll come on as sub and get tackled here or something and avoid everyone, and they'll get beat 4-0 and he'll avoid the minuses or something. Whatever you got, hold, I think, and just fucking leave it be.
Jarvo.
I still think there is a case to buy a Forest player if you have nothing.
Jarvo, another sad case of a heart condition ending a young player's career. He's talking about Mwepo that was announced today. What is a young pro's best way to continue in football? Is coaching badges the only route, or have there been other successful routes, i.e. scouting, physio, etc.?
Yeah, I think that we put it in the poll the other week, didn't we, about life after football. Maybe it can combine back with this, because we didn't know the news about Mwepo when we recorded the podcast. Otherwise, we certainly would have spoken about it. So I think it's that we could combine the two and have an elaborate conversation about it. I think there's so much now in terms of, you know, TV, even agency now. Yes, scouting, coaching, mentoring. You can even go into like physio. There are so many different, you know, if you can get the right... He's 24, right? So Brighton will look after him. Again, proper football club. They ain't going to leave him. No chance. They leave him on the fucking scrap heap. They'll look after him and help him with the opportunities he needs to stay within football. Absolutely certain about that. That's, of course, not the situation for everybody at all clubs. He's lucky in a way. He's obviously not lucky at the moment, but he's lucky in a way. He's at a club with Brighton who I just know with absolute certainty will look after him and help him find a path that is right for him.
What's his nickname, Computer?
I feel like I have read that, but I can't remember.
Okay. He signed his tweet off Enoch Computer Mwepo.
Well, maybe that's his middle name.
No, it's in inverted commas, so I don't think it is.
Oh, maybe he's a clever bastard. I mean, if he's a clever bastard, then perhaps he'll
be friends with Manuel Genji.
Such
Genji.
A talented player as well.
Yeah, and a shame.
Powerful player.
Adam says, I take it you've both seen the accusations in video of Henderson from yesterday. Is he in trouble? That's Dean Henderson. Haven't seen the videos, heard the mild accusations. Henderson's never come across as the type of player that's going to be racist, but I don't know.
He'd be right at the bottom of players you'd expect it from.
Yeah.
I did suspect yesterday when referee goes to side of pitch and talks to both managers, I think it's okay privately to assume that something like that has happened. And I did think it at the time. And then, to be honest, I forgot about it. And I have seen some stuff online, but there is nothing online that I've seen that incriminates at this stage.
Yeah.
And before I just go accusing, I think we should wait and see what comes out. Obviously, look, if he has, dirty fucking bastard, right? Mm. But let's see. I don't think we even know that it wasn't one of the Arsenal players at this stage. So, yeah, let's see what comes out in the wash.
Also, a close Darren, last question of the show, James. How many game days do you think we'll get in Sky post-World Cup? So there'll be 22 game weeks, average of 3, 2.5. 60, 50, 60?
Yeah. Who fucking cares? In the nicest possible way. I don't know why that's important from a question perspective. And it's the sort of question we do get now and again about Sky. And I just think to myself, what does it change in my mind if I think this is 50, 60 or 70? What is it actually going to change for me? So, yeah, let me know. I'd be interested to know why it's important for you. I'd just be interested to know.
Yeah. Interesting. And that's it. That's your Q&A for today, patrons. Hope you enjoyed it.
Fucking hell, it's a long one, wasn't it?
Hours.
We did half hour last week.
Well, it's down to the questions that they send in.
More questions.
Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.